Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What is the direction of your life? You say, you know, I'd better turn around. The Bible calls that repentance. I'm going in the wrong direction. I realize when I get where I'm going, I'm not going to be the place I want to be. So I am convicted of that. I turn around, and it's not just all at once I'm brand new. I turn around and I begin to go in the right direction, and that's growing up in our faith and walk with Jesus Christ. And then, zip, we go all the way in the right direction.
The truth is, changing directions in life can be hard, but it's often necessary. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, The Right Direction, where he shares how you can experience the turnaround you need in life. So stay where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Right Direction.
Does anybody here awaken to the fact that I might be going in the wrong direction right now? And we decide to turn around. That's what happens when we wake up one day and ask the question, when we get where we're going, where will we be? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What is the direction of your life? You say, you know, I'd better turn around. The Bible calls that repentance. I'm going in the wrong direction. I realize when I get where I'm going, I'm not going to be the place I want to be. So I am convicted of that. I turn around, and it's not just all at once I'm brand new. I turn around and I begin to go in the right direction, and that's growing up in our faith and walk with Jesus Christ. And then, zip, we go all the way in the right direction. We've been talking about that. That's what we've been looking at as we studied Romans chapter number 8. And we realize in the process, if you've read Romans 8, what God is doing for us in the inspired word, He is love bombing us, B-O-M-B. Does anybody here know that phrase, to be love bombed? Anybody know that phrase? A few on the internet, right? And what's happened, God in Jesus Christ has been love bombing all the world there in Romans 8. We've looked at all of it from the latter part of 7 all the way through to this point in 8. He is saying, I love you, I forgive you, I want you in my family. You're going to have to repent, turn around, and once we turn, we begin to walk with Christ and go with Christ, we have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Love bomb. A lot of people don't like to be love bombed. On the internet, you have people that someone's attracted to someone else of the opposite sex and they're just love bombing and they resent it. Others, they like it. The praise, adoration, the compliments, the buildup. And I can tell you, most of us, when we think about it, we study Romans 8, we see that God is love bombing all of us to bring us, to turn us around, to get us in the right direction. And we ran into one little common phrase. Everybody's forgotten what it is. It is. Christ became what we are so we can become what He is. Remember that? Christ became what we are. That covers 3 or 4 major doctrines. The incarnation, He became what we are. Justification, He died for us, He became where we are. He took our sins upon Himself. Propitiation, the weight. He shed His blood on the cross so our sins are totally obliterated. So we can become what He is, and that's when we turn around and begin to walk and grow in the power of God in Jesus Christ. And we find that really in one verse, summarize it all. That's a secular phrasing of it, but look at it in one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He became what we are. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus, God, Jesus in his riches was rich. He came all the way here and became poor, died on the cross for us, took all of our garbage upon himself, so we in our life now and forever might become rich. That's what we've been studying. And in the process, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12 through 17, and three things we're going to bump right into. First of all, hope you have your Bibles open. Then bring your Bibles with you. Look in the pew in front and get a Bible. You got to have a Bible to follow. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 12. It says, therefore, in light of all that has gone before. Now, Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, because we are in Christ. Remember, that's the central teaching all the way through the letters of Paul. We are in Christ, therefore, brethren, we're Christians, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Brethren, we are debtors. In other words, now we have been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, and guess what? We are on a new team. You're on a new team. I'm on a new team. We've received Jesus Christ. We're going in a new direction, and we're walking in newness and freshness of life with clean transparency. And all of a sudden we say, you know, I want to go back to that team, that fleshly team. This spiritual team somehow isn't working for me. And we go back to the old team. Is that crazy? And we talked about that earlier. Remember, we talked about the mindset. You have your mind set on the world, the flesh, pride, achievement, recognition. And now we have a new mindset. You'd have to be out of your mind, have a concussion to go back on the other team. Most of you know the name of Johnny Baker. He was on the committee that brought me here to this church 100 years ago. And Johnny Baker played for then the Houston Oilers. You may not remember that. In fact, we have another person here today, Mack Height. You know he sells cars, but also Mack Height scored for the Oilers the first touchdown in, guess what? The Astrodome for the Oilers. He's right here today. Johnny Baker was playing for the Oilers, and they were playing against Denver. They're at Denver, and there was a pass, it's third down, a pass over the middle, and a tight end caught it. Johnny hit him head-to-head back then. The pass was dropped, and Johnny was concussed, and so it was third down. He was going off the field because the punting team was coming on, and Johnny ran off the field with the Denver Broncos, not with the team in which he was playing for, and got a 15-yard penalty. Therefore, now Denver had a first down, and he goes back out there and plays a couple of days. And a guy named Bobby Maples, they sent him in for Johnny because they could tell he was victim of a concussion. Maples, I think, played for Baylor, if I'm not mistaken. And so Johnny now runs off the field, not back to his team. He runs in the end zone and gets another penalty flag. What am I saying? You'd have to be out of your mind to change teams. But we, so many who are in Christ, we do that. Here we have a liberated life, a clean life, a super life, and we somehow change teams. You have to be out of your head. My mind was set here, And somehow it goes back where it used to be set before I repented and decided to live and go in the right direction. And then we see we have a new team, but look what else is a part of this team here in our scripture. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. You put to death, you crucify the deeds of the flesh, you will live. And here we are. Just a lot of statistics may help quickly. One that came across my preview recently, did you know that increase in death among those from 18 to 62 has increased 40% this past year? Should be the prime of your life. If a 10% increase, you know something is desperately wrong. A 40% increase in death of those who are 18 to 62. Why is that? It's because the flesh is winning out, folks, among this whole generation. It's because so many of us have not taught our children, loved our children. Their children have not had any semblance of a home that speaks of Christ or Christianity. America has turned away from God and Christ, and therefore we're seeing the results of those who change teams and begin to go back in the flesh. And the results always is catastrophic to any individual, and it's always catastrophic to a nation. So what do? As Christians individually, we are to kill the flesh. Did you read it? The deeds of the flesh, the body will live. But we are to take the Holy Spirit, and it is to kill the deeds of the flesh. When did that happen? It has to happen every day for you and for me. And remember whose team we're on. It happened on Calvary. It happened on the cross. Jesus Christ on the cross, he took our sin. He was executed on your behalf and my behalf because our sins were executed there. So the Bible says we are to take up our cross. What does that mean? Every day, you and I, and die. What does that mean? It means we're to recognize that we are indeed on the cross, and we're on the cross. What does it mean to be on the cross? It means, first of all, you're facing in only one direction. Secondly, it means you can't climb down and go back. Third thing it means, you and I have no future plans that are our own. We've sold out to him. Therefore, there needs to be an execution of the flesh if we are to be on the team where the Spirit operated. So if you're in Christ, if I'm in Christ, we're on a whole new team. We're on a new team. Not only are we a new team, we have a new coach. Look at our coach. It's right here in the scripture. It says, verse number 13, for as many as are led, that's what a coach does, he leads, by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, for they did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we came out of slavery. Myself, running my own life, we were bound there to it, our habits and our egos and our pride, and now all of a sudden we are led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is our new coach. If those who fly an airplane, and many of you know about that, the big planes now, they can take off and fly and land on autopilot. They generally do not do that unless it's rough weather, and then they know that autopilot will see turbulence and see all the problems that are there. When we come to God in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in your life, in my life, and we're on autopilot. Now, the pilot is still there. He can still override the autopilot, and most of flight, he does some of that. It's not usually from takeoff to flight to landing. Everything's on autopilot. But that's a wonderful thing to know that the Holy Spirit in your life and my life will guide us and bring us safely now and safely forever. So we have a new coach. It's the Holy Spirit. We can put your life in neutral. He takes over. He runs. He gives us insight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, the way you want to go, and all your ways acknowledge Him. Zip. He, the Holy Spirit, will direct your life, and that Holy Spirit will coach you all the way now and all the way into eternity. Because you receive Christ. A new team. Have a new coach. And also, we have a new position on the team. And I love this, the position. What position do we play? The best thing I could say, you and I are quarterbacks for our own team. How about that? It says, but you receive the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, and the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified with Him. What is this saying? It's saying that we have a position and we are quarterback of your life and in my life, and the Holy Spirit, the coach, has a game plan for us, and we get it on that game plan as we daily see what the requirements are, as we daily die to self and are crucified with Him. And all of a sudden, we realize an amazing thing. We are children of God. Children of God. Think about that. Well, I've heard that before, but just let it seep into me. You're a child of God? That's an intimate thing. God the Creator seems way back there. Even God in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, seems, you know, that's thousands, 2,000 years ago. But the idea that right now that you and I are a child of God, and we can say to God, Abba, which is an Arabic word, Father, used there in the Greek, it is saying that all people, Arabs, Greeks, Jews, whatever your classification, we're all in the family of God because we're in Christ. And if we're in the family of God, we can say and talk to God as our dad. There's no way for you and I to understand how radical that was, particularly to the Jewish world as well as all the rest of the world, to refer to He who was omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent and holy other as Abba. A Jew, when reading the scripture, would not even pronounce the name of God. We look at it, we try to pronounce it as Yahweh, but we do not really know how it could be pronounced. They would not say Jehovah or Yahweh. They might say Adonai as a substitute because the name of God was so reverent, so holy. And therefore, they would never think about any time being so godless and sacrilegious as to say, Dad, Abba. That's what Jesus did. Jesus always referred to the Father as Abba. Except on the cross, the cry of dereliction. Only one time He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Every other time He talked of Him as Dad, as Abba, an intimate thing. And when the apostles first heard that, whew, they were amazed. The audience would hear that. They were amazed. Who is this guy who can talk about Dad, Abba, Abba, intimacy there? And therefore, because now all of a sudden we have a new assignment in our life, we have new provisions to live out our life in Jesus Christ. All of a sudden I realize that you and I are children of God because we're in Christ. Then He goes on to say we are heirs. Oh, heirs? An heir is someone who hasn't yet possessed something. We are an heir to a fortune or an heir to an object. But in this usage, it means that we have partially possessed that which we will have, and one day we'll possess all of it when we graduate from this life. We are heirs, And then one little phrase I want to pick up on. It says, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit witnesses to us, and my spirit and your spirit witnesses also that we are children of God. There's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. There is a mutual witness. And for something to be affirmed in a court of law in that day, there had to be at least two witnesses. For an adoption to take place, it was a big deal in the Greco-Roman world. It was a whole litany of procedure. It took seven witnesses, and one father had to give the child to be adopted to the other father and pay what it would be offered, and the other father would give it back, and they would do it again, and they would do it again. Only the third time did it become real and valid and official of the state, in which in every way that adopted heir was an heir just like a son or a daughter of the family would be. Every one of the privileges was there, so we are an heir. And then it says, did you hear it? We are a co-heir with Jesus Christ. Can you get a hold of that? In other words, we have such a high, lofted position. It sounds like out of this world. It's absurd. It's impossible to believe that you and I, who are in Christ, will one day be a co-heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, with our Abba, Father, who is in heaven. So this gives us the equipment now, because our coach is the Holy Spirit, to live this life victoriously. What a new team. Have a new coach, the Holy Spirit. We're in Christ. We have a new position. And God has given us the Holy Spirit and the ability to play that position, so when we decide to turn around, and most of us have, we'll turn all the way around and begin to walk in the fullness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the end result, we'll have some suffering in this world, but the end result, we'll have glory in the world to come. And a touch of it even right now, right here, because guess what? I'm a child of God. Guess what? In Christ, you're a child of God. How beautiful that is. Texas Children's Hospital. A little girl went in and was being checked out, and the doctor said, you know, we're going to send you in, and we're going to get what we call an ultrasound, a cardiac ultrasound. It won't hurt, but they're going to see what's in your heart. This little girl had come to Christ a month or so before. When the doctor told her that they're going to see what's in your heart, she said, they're going to see Jesus. I won't tell your name, but they're going to see Jesus. How do you know? How do I know that I'm on a new team? How do I know that the Holy Spirit is really coaching my life and your life? How do we know that? How do we know that we're children of God? We have all these provisions given to us in that lofty, lofty, exalted title, lofty family. How do we know that? There's a scripture in Matthew, 6th chapter, it says, By my grace, you will know as whether or not you're in my family, because you'll lay not up treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt. Isn't that true? Treasures on this earth, moth and rust corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. He said, but we're to lay up treasure in heaven where nothing can touch it. And then the scripture says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. No, no, no. It says something different. It says where your treasure is, my treasure and your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So to really the only thing tangibly, or one of the few things tangibly we can measure about whether or not we're in the family of God, and where our heart is where our treasure is. Because the treasure indicates the real position of our heart.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, what would you say is the problem with America today? Why are we headed in the wrong direction?
I think the problem with America today is we're heading in the wrong direction because, once again, we are seeking that which makes us happy, that which makes us complete. And we're living on the basis of, will it give me pleasure? Will I have power? Will I have more money, more security? Instead of living to the pleasure of God in Jesus Christ. In that, all these human things are gone. When we stop breathing, guess what? All wood, hay, and stubble, it's gone. Therefore, one life to live, soon will be passed. Only what we've done for God will last. That's what's last in eternity. When we get that understood as we are men and women in Christ Jesus, He's not only our Savior, but He's our Lord. That just frees us up in every relationship, in everything we do and say. All of a sudden, we're not looking for applause. We're not looking for more power or less power. We're not seeking our own pleasure. We want the pleasure of God in Jesus Christ. And that's a part of that which sets us free.
Well, is it really possible to turn our culture back to Jesus Christ?
Our culture has never really been turned toward Jesus Christ. For example, somebody says, well, that's a Christian school. Well, the school may be founded on Judeo-Christian principles, but a school is not Christian. A Christian is an individual thing. And therefore, we can turn America around again if individually people begin to understand that Jesus saves us and He's the Lord of our life. And now we're hearing at this moment in time, a lot of revival is taking place on college campuses and in some churches. Revival means that those who are Christian are coming alive. An awakening means those who are Christian begin to see others who do not know God in Christ receiving Christ. So we're having revival, but we haven't seen a lot of that awakening where pagans are seeing, there's a God. He made Himself known in Jesus Christ. I can get to know God as I get to know Jesus because He's right here available to me and I can have a personal relationship with Him. When that starts happening, then we don't have just revival, we have an awakening. We're beginning to see something of that right now in the second family right here. And it's marvelous to observe. So many adults are coming to Christ. We're baptizing adults by dozens and dozens and hundreds every week. And so I'm praying this is the beginning of something that's happening in my immediate church family, but also I pray it'll begin to spread through churches all across America. When that happens, you begin to see new life in all of our institutions and all the elective offices, new life in businesses and corporations. But we must turn away from the woke agenda, which is now so strong because the agenda of woke is absolutely 100% contrary to biblical principles. And that will happen. Revival is coming partially. Hope it'll lead to an awakening. When that happens, we have a new America and a new world.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.